And that's fine, right?
Amen. Yes.
Come on.
How many know you can't live in this life and not ever have pressure? Some pressure comes because of others. You know, just like church, it's a big responsibility. The pastor of church to work in ministry. That's why a lot of people don't want ministry. I'm not just talking about pastorship. I'm talking about some of y'all not willing to stand this pressure. Puts pressure on you to pray. Puts pressure on you to fast. Puts pressure on you to read the word, right?
Yep.
Hallelujah. But how many knows that pressure, if we yield the right way, it causes us to bear fruit. Amen. Bearing fruit is a good thing in our life. I mean, it's like, it brings edification, strength, stamina, perseverance. All of these are great attributes of God that pressure, now some pressure is meant to destroy. But how many knows, you know, just like Teresa been talking about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is not walking a plank praying in tongues, necessarily.
Right.
Or being weird, what, running around your house screaming at the devil. You know, that's, I mean, he's very easily put under your feet.
Amen.
Very easy. Very easy. Y'all quiet.
Come on.
That's right.
Satan's usually not our problem. Satan's been stripped of all power.
Amen.
Our problem sometimes is ignorance. Yes. Ignorant of God's word. Ignorant of God's will. I mean, if we're ignorant of God's will, we can be tripped up easily by the enemy.
That's right.
But if we know the will of God, even Paul said that we should know the will of God. We should know the will of God. How many knows that the more of the will of God that we find out for our lives, the less pressure can get to us.
Come on.
Amen.
Because not knowing the will of God causes a lot of pressure. I mean, the enemy come to me, you know, after I started the church. And this guy's the evangelist. I evangelized for 7 years. And it's really, I mean, if you're called to it, it's exciting. I mean, it's just exciting, you know, to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, just operate under an evangelistic anointing, you know, and go in different places and all of that. But when that ended and God wanted me to start here, everything had to change. That was pressure. So it wasn't too long down the road, somebody come here and they're evangelizing and they're going to, and we started sending them to Mexico and different things, you know, to feed the poor down there and all that stuff, you know. And one day he told me, he said, you know what? He said, you're stuck here. And that, in those words, you know, I mean, I listened to it, you know, and I thought, man, I'm stuck. I'm stuck.
Come on.
I'm stuck in Blountsville.
Come on.
This guy gets to go to Mexico and, you know, go different places and minister. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke to me and he said, you're stuck in my will.
Amen.
And I determined then I would rather be stuck in the will of God than be all over the planet without it.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Because here in the will of God is where when the pressure comes to you and you know you're in the will of God, there ain't no devil can get to you. There ain't no person can get to you. You know the will of God and you can bear up under that pressure. Praise God. I mean, people's told me, well, you know, it's more exciting over at that church. And I said, what does God say? What does God say? That's kind of dry at my church. What does God say?
That's right.
Getting dry is no reason to move.
Amen.
Getting dry is not a reason to get out of the will of God.
Right.
The only reason we get out of the will of God is God says. Then when the pressure's on over there, you're in the will of God. You've made some transition. Then when the pressure comes and Satan, you're going under, you say, you're lying, idiot, Satan. You can't trick me. God sent me here. He's got me in this marriage.
Right.
Satan tried to convince me that I married the devil's daughter. We was lost when we got married. So I didn't know the will of God then, right?
Right.
We get saved. Ain't did one of us change too much. She still cuss you out and all that, cussing me out and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I go to God, I think I married the devil's daughter. Lord, you know, the Lord wouldn't talk to me. He said, she's not the problem, you are. And I thought, I don't live with down here. He's up in heaven, man. He don't have to live with Teresa. This has been 20-something. But what I realized a little bit later on is that it was the enemy trying to get me out of the will of God.
Right.
Look at us today, 30-something years of marriage. We're kind of veterans in staying married.
Amen.
We're good examples of work it out. Don't yield to the devil. Don't, you know, I mean, you might fall, but get up. Don't let the pressure get you out of the will of God. Hallelujah. And then, you know what, some people, I told the Lord one time, she wants a divorce and blah, blah. This is years ago now, women. We're trying to work it out. I mean, are y'all working anything out?
Amen.
We were working out our salvation, hallelujah. The salvation had come in. It's, well, it's not an easy road sometimes. And so, you know, I mean, she was, and so I thought, okay, Lord, I make up my mind right now, but God, you hate divorce. I hate divorce. If she gets a divorce, she ought to get one. So I looked at her and I said, if you want a divorce, get one. I'll never give you one.
I'll get one. We'll get one. I'm not giving you one. You got to get it.
And then I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to sanctify my heart to you right now, Lord, that she don't make me and she don't break me. She can make her own choice. She can choose to get out of your will. She can choose to go down that path, Lord, but I'm not falling for it now. I was lost and I fell for it and I was crushed every time we separated. But this time, God, I've got you on my side, bless God. And with or without her, I will serve Jesus.
Amen.
And then I turned to the devil and I said, devil, but God, you can't have her.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
But see, I made up my mind. See, the pressure of that and the threat of that was trying to take my life, Johnny. It was trying to get me to go back to the revert to how it used to be, suicidal and all that stuff, you know, and back into drugs and all of that garbage. And I made up my mind beforehand. The Bible says, Paul says, gird up the loins of your mind. That means to prepare your mind for action.
Amen.
How many knows you cannot escape pressure? Well, everything's going good. When do you get a phone call?
Yep.
All our bills is paid. Next month will be here. Oh, man, you know, we don't like nothing. Your refrigerator can blow up. Maybe not. Blessings on it.
Amen.
Unexpected things happen.
Yeah, right.
They come up. They happen. I mean, I think I'm on easy street all the time until I get a phone call. I mean, none of this ever happens to y'all because you don't answer your phone. But it's going to knock on your door.
Right.
I'll knock on Mac's door every now and then. You know, he's in there, I'll say, Bluffville Police Department. Glory to God, I tell you. Bluffville Police Department. I'm just messing. I love Mac. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I did it. The guy worked for me one time in a Bernie's, living in his mama's little building out there. So we're so-and-so. He's out there, and I went, Buffalo Police Department. I mean, they're diving in everywhere in there. Man, they're getting on the bed there. They're probably hiding all their guns. Illegal ones, man. They stole them probably. And look out there, and they're like, I mean, they've just lost their, I mean, they're, you know, they had tans before I said that. Hallelujah. But you know what? Don't let pressure shock you to the point to where you can't function.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to stay steady in the storms of life. Hallelujah. See, God's wanting to use pressure to mold us and make us and build us, not to destroy us. God wants us to use what the enemy means for our bad, when we trust him, he can turn it around and work it for our good. Hallelujah. Yes. Romans 8:28. Don't the Bible say, for we know that all things work together for the good to those that love the Lord, well, why are we going to say, oh God, why me? No, don't get on that little party of whining around. Yeah. God, get on the scripture and say, my God will supply all of my needs. Yeah. Not just when you need money.
That's right.
Told Teresa the other day, we're going down the road. We don't owe too much on our house, you know. And boy, we went through some trials. We knew it was the will of God. And then right after we got in the will of God, here come a long storm, man. And I mean, the devil told me, you're going to lose it. I mean, the bank's telling me move out. Quit foreclosure, all that. And I went in there and found the scripture where Jesus said, no man has left father and mother and lands and brothers and sisters for my sake and the gospel to lost anything. But he shall gain 100-fold in this life and eternal life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I took that scripture and I said, the banks are saying this and the lawyers are saying this, Lord. But Lord, your word says this, and I'm going to believe that you are a man of your word, Lord, that I will not lose nothing.
Come on.
And I didn't lose nothing. I lost a garbage dumpster.
Yes, Lord.
I tell you, going down the road, I think it was yesterday, or maybe it was with the house or whatever. And I told her, I said, we always want to keep, I said, we're going to keep enough money at all times to pay our house off. We can pay our house off.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, why don't you brag about that money? See, you got a sourpuss problem.
Mm-hmm.
I just told you the road I've been down, didn't I?
Amen.
I just told you they told me to move out. Yeah. I just told you they told me they're coming after my trucks and everything that I own. And I refused to give in to the pressure of it and get in unbelief and all of that. And even at the same time ministering to others that was going through the economy falling 9, 10, and 11, 8, 9, 10. You understand what I'm saying? And they tell them, they went off and said, well, old fat cat Scotty got plenty of money in the bank and blah, blah, blah. Y'all listening? Y'all did it. Come to find out, I'm coming here believing God, thinking about stealing money from the church because I'm going to run out for a gear to preach.
Yeah. Come on.
So I understand pressure.
Yes. Yes.
And then me tell the Lord, Lord, why don't you let me tell the church, Lord, they'll take up an offering and give me some fuel money. He said, I thought you believed me.
Amen.
He said, I thought you trusted me. He wouldn't even let me tell y'all. He said, I thought you believed.
Come on.
See, the pressure would come, and God was telling me, listen, it's easy to believe me when everything looks good. It's easy to believe me when your marriage ain't having trouble. It's easy to believe me when everybody is patting you on the back. Hell, it's easy to believe me when all of this, no pressure on you. But really, truly, the true believers rise up in the middle of adversity. When the pressure is on, they rise up. They might be shaken by the thing that hits them all of a sudden, praise God, but they rise up because greater is He that's in them. It's not a famous quote they quote.
That's right. Come on.
All my quoting didn't feel good back then, Johnny. But on the inside, but God, when me and Teresa got, I mean, when nothing changed in the middle and we sat down on the steps and we begin to laugh and rejoice, we had got nothing had changed on the outside, but on the inside, we knew that our God was going to deliver us.
Amen.
And God in 1 week brought me $8,000 for 2 days work and delivered me, and I've never been behind on anything again. And actually, I don't owe nothing on none of my vehicles, nothing. I owe a little bit on my house. God continually, ever since 2009, began to move, and praise God. See, when you don't move by the pressures and the enemy, I'm telling you, victory comes. I mean, it begins to build you up and build you up.
Come on. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
But if you lay down, well, I'm not going through this, Lord.
That's right.
I've done everything. I love you. Well, think about Jesus.
Amen.
You think he didn't love God? Sure he did.
Yes.
Think about the Apostle Paul. You think he didn't love God? Look what he went through.
That's right.
You know, I bear some scars. A lot of them broke into the cows last year, but not that.
Bless him, Lord.
Paul bore scars for the Lord. He went through some things.
Yep.
He went through some things and would turn away from the Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit showed up to the Apostle Paul. I'm talking about pressure, under pressure this morning. See, some of you are under pressure right now. You're under pressure financially. You're under pressure with kinfolk. You're under pressure sickness in the family. Whatever the pressure, don't matter what the pressure is. How many of those victories already ours?
Amen.
It's already ours. And so when the pressure comes, we got to turn to the Lord. We got to look to the Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't look at how it feels. You know what? I've made up my mind after I become a Christian. I loved my wife, and I did. I committed adultery on her. I still love her. So you might need proof, you know, other than that. I know I loved her. I don't need you to confirm it. I yielded to the flesh. She yielded to the flesh. And you know what? When I got born again, when I got saved that day, praise God, I had this on the inside, how I'd hurt her, her family. And I mean, you know, I weep for 4 hours. 4 hours I weep. But it was cleansing weep.
Yes.
And so I made up my mind. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I've been so selfish, God. And how she made me feel when this happened, how it made me feel. I said, how I've made you feel, Lord, not serving you for 27 years of my life. How you've loved me and longed for me, and I abandoned you, and I turned my back on you, and I worked against you. And I didn't really realize it, Lord. I said, Lord, this time, Lord, I said, I love my wife, Lord, and if she's not happy with me, Lord, I love her enough to let her go and let her be happy. That took revelation for me, because used to, I'd be like, I'm going to kill the dude that even looked at her. Am I helping anybody this morning?
Amen.
Are you getting anything?
Come on.
Are you just enjoying the good little stories I'm telling you? Listen, they're not stories. They are testimonies. I'm telling you testimonies of the power of God. Yours may not be that deep, but it don't make no difference. It could be your kid driving you up the wall, your husband, whatever, your wife, or whatever. It don't make no difference. Take the principles are the same.
Right.
Give me something. I don't know what I'm looking for. Let me see what I want. Let's get some scripture here.
Hey, come on, bless him, Lord.
Satan, if you allow him, will take advantage of you under pressure.
Yeah.
I got to say this. I had these people come here, and this guy was going to prison, and he brought his family here. Said the Lord said, bring my family here. Four or five kids and wife, you know. And I said, you sure? I'm thinking, bring them here. I mean, bring them here, leave. We got to take care of them. He's going to be going 5 years to prison.
Yeah.
And I thought, he better heard from the Lord. Praise God, go dump your family out here, and we're going to take care of them until you get back. But you know, it was the Lord did. Well, you know what? But when he's gone and in prison and all that stuff, if she got in need or something, we've helped her. Me and Travis put fuel pumps in her van and everything. Just, you know, I actually, they were going to take his horses and all of that. And I went and rented pasture, took the horses, fed them, hauled water. And wasn't no water on it, hauled water and all of that stuff. You know, not getting no pay for it, you know. And even whoever, animal people, and told me they're going to go get them horses. I said, you better not go touch them horses out of my pasture.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Them horses are in my pasture. Well, they would turn them in. Well, they was going to get the horses, and I went and got the horses. Mm-hmm. So, see, the pressure of all of this pressure, and I had to give it to the Lord. Say, God, you said for us to take care of them, Lord. We're going to take care of them. See, Satan, but in the middle of all that, I had some horses. And this boy that's in prison had a very nice saddle. Probably about $1,000 saddle. And she's wanting to sell that saddle. They're wanting to sell that saddle. And so I thought, well, you know, bless God, I'll offer $100 for that saddle.
And then the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, never take advantage of somebody's disadvantage.
Amen.
See, I didn't realize the enemy was tempting me to take advantage of their disadvantage. See, that's pressure, because it's going to cost you.
Yep.
See, we can't go by all these outward things. We can't go by, oh, it's going to cost me. It's going to, I would want to keep the children's ministry, but I'd have to be at church. Good, keep it. You're the one who needs to keep children's ministry. It'll help you get in church, help you stay in church, help you stay after God. You're the one. The rest of them diving in or want to do it, I don't want them to do it.
Come on.
I want the ones that don't want to do it.
Bless the Lord.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah. Come on.
Them that want to do it, they don't show up.
Come on.
Then I have to go try to keep the kids' ministry and come out here and preach too.
Bless the Lord.
But you get them really don't want to do it. You know, you're doing it, turn the lights off or whatever. Pastor, put that on me now. I got to go to church. Let's go. I'm going to look bad if I don't go to. Come on, somebody. That's a good thing.
That's right.
That pressure just put pressure on it to grow up. I mean, God wants us all to grow up in Him, become mature, where nothing moves us. The Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit went to the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, and he told him, everywhere you go, you're going to be in locks and bonds. He told him all the bad things because of him serving the Lord. He said, but none of these things move me. I count not my life dear to myself. In other words, Paul was saying, it's not about me and how I feel. It's about Jesus and what He's wanted me to do, bless God. So therefore, I just lay my life down. See, it's not about what we... Listen, don't always be one of those Christians that don't want no hardship in your life because it makes your life uncomfortable. Listen, the hardships in life makes me comfortable. I get uncomfortable if I'm not going through something.
Mm-hmm.
Get a call Friday night. Calvin's out over on 26. I thought I'm going to get me a machine gun. But God, I'm going to slaughter them animals this time. It's Friday night. I just had got back. Me and Teresa enjoyed a good steak, Johnny. And I mean, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, oh, Friday night. Now, ooh, yeah. Get a phone call. Your cows are out on 26. And my first thought, I'm killing every one of them. Take a gun, pow, pow, pow. Y'all gonna get you some, drag you one, take it to the slaughterhouse. Everybody over here, now some meat. Go over there, and Jeffrey Sutton, he didn't run them out of the road, run them down the pasture. He gonna help you out, you know, and here I am, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm telling you, y'all were gone this time. I've been saying that for over a year.
Bless the Lord.
Y'all were gone this time. Y'all bunch of idiots. I'm going to sell y'all and I'm going to buy me a truck. Let it sit there and say, this is the result of them stupid cows. So I'm over there. I pull out and I say, come on. Ah, they come out of the woods. They take off after me. They're, you know, I mean, I feed them, you know. So when I got over there, I just hollered for them. Here's God. I get up to the, and I've got a gate pretty close to where they follow me all the way to the gate. And here comes this Bob and Rottweiler out from the trailer. And I'm like, no. Stop. Shut up. I'm telling it, no, shut up. Here comes the lady out of the house of her. And I look, and I thought, oh, child terror, shut up too. Shut up. That dog, he's bopping around, you know, and he was going around me, and I'm chasing that dog over. No, shut up, shut up. All of a sudden, my cows go, back. They're going all the way back to 26. She said, that dog. I said, no, the dog did it, Nagy. I get on my Polaris. I said, but it's all well. And so I go over there, the cow sees me going, I'm not about pressure. Y'all just love this, don't you? Mm-hmm. It was me. So I go over there, you know, and then they're going back in the woods. And I thought, stay out there. Georgia gave me some dog food, you know, and all that. He said, you're just going to leave them, Brother Scotty. I said, I'm leaving them. I go to the house. I thought, get out the road, get killed. I don't care. Smash the car. I'll pay for the car. I don't care. I really don't care. I just don't care. I don't care. Some of y'all need to say, I don't care.
Come on.
Yeah. Joe trying to ruin my Friday night. I don't care. Trying to be on my mind when I'm going to sleep, and I cast it off. And I said, Lord, you said you would say, no, I don't care.
Come on.
Get over the next day. They left the babies in there. After I went and got the food that we're going to unload here in a little bit, I'd cast it over on the Lord. I ain't going first thing in the morning. I got to go pick up food, all that. See the pressure. I didn't even think about those cows. See, sometimes you got to cast down them imaginations of things that's trying to burn your mind up and keep your mind worried. How many knows worry sin?
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
Don't worry, Jesus said. Don't worry. And then I thought, them cows have got the Holy Ghost and angels and anointing. And you know what? I fixed the fence so good over the last year that they couldn't even tear back in, David. That sucker's trying to tear back in over there at another place. They couldn't tear in. They're over there. When I got over there, they're going, oh, oh, like, let me in, boss. Their babies are over here. They're under pressure to feed them babies. Those babies are screaming. I thought, oh, now y'all getting a little bit of what I've been getting, pressure. So I go take the fence down. They just pile in there. I'm like, that's the way you're supposed to do. Just want to tear back in here. That's, you know.
Yep.
And then I thought, you know what? Satan ain't going, and come to find out a tree had fell down on the back pasture, back thing down there, and they found it somehow. I reckon they heard the tree fall, went to check it out. I don't know, step right out. Ooh, what was that? Had no business way over there, man. I would be scared over there at night where they was at. And you know what? I told them later on, I said, well, I guess I'm going to let y'all stay a little longer. Maybe they won't try to find somewhere else to get out. Bless God. Hallelujah. I'm going to let them stay a little longer. I enjoy the cows. See, that's the way we got to do. We ain't going to let nothing break us. A few cows? Are you serious?
Amen.
A few cows in just a year can break me? What's it going to take in your life? Run your air conditioning. Light bill goes up at $140. Good Lord, I'm doing good. Biden ain't sending us no more money. Now I've got to start paying the bills. Come on, somebody.
That's right.
Put a lawnmower motor on Teresa's lawnmower instead of buying a lawnmower. It's $1,200-something. Doesn't he have a lawnmower motor? $1,200. So I said, when that stimulus money gets here, you just keep it, baby. You just put it in the bank. I don't really need it. Sitting over there, and I said, yeah, I got your motor coming. I want you to order money. I said, yeah, I got your motor coming. I said, I'll get it under. And she looked over at me, and she said, well, Biden's going to buy that motor for me. Wait on that stimulus check. Well, I went ahead and paid for it. I looked over at her a day or two later, and I said, y'all, you and Biden better hurry up and give me my money back. See, you know, Biden ain't paid for it yet. I paid for it, and Daddy wants his money back, bless God. You and Biden's fixing to get in trouble. Hallelujah. But you know what, praise God? How many know the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength? Give me that scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, is it? I want to read it. 4. 7 through 10. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Jesus in us, right?
That's right, yeah.
Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Yep.
We have this treasure in earthen. That means this natural body. It says that the excellency of the power of God be of God and not us. We're troubled on every side. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Troubled on every side. If mama ain't on your nerves, your neighbor is.
Yep.
Get your neighbor off, the other neighbor gets on your nerves. That ain't it. I was cleaning out around this building. And back in before it became a church. And I had the lines run and everything. And so I knew where my property was. Well, I'm throwing rocks out one day and cleaning out around the building and different things. Here comes a guy, the city guy, worked for the city. Been here, he was older than Methuselah then. They felt like they owned the city, I reckon. They come up there, stop the tractor, and he said, "Hey." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You need to get them rocks out of this driveway." I looked up to him and I thought, who's he? And I said, "Hey." I said, "You see that tree right down there?" Yeah, I see it. I said, "Crank your tractor up and get it off my property." "Why would you just drive away for..." See, Satan, I've been around y'all for a long time. Don't intimidate me. Don't mess with me. I'm not going to turn y'all loose. But it is the way it is. No, you ain't going to let Satan do that. Right?
Come on.
I told him, I said, "Get your tractor off my property." I said, "I don't care how long you've been using this driveway. I bought this driveway. I paid for this driveway. You're on my property, and I wasn't going to say nothing till now." I said, "But I'll put a fence down here across both of this property, and y'all won't even come across here." You know, I said, "I thought, you know what? He's being used of the devil. I'm not going to bust his teeth and knock him off the tractor like he used to. You should just drag him off the tractor. Tell me again." I thought, "I'm not going to do that, but y'all ain't, the devil ain't going to run over me down here. You're not going to come on my, he ain't coming to my house now." Through pressure and thoughts and all that and other people. Some trials you get into is because of other people. Some of them are God. Mm-hmm. We're quiet.
Come on.
That's good, we're learning. I mean, some of y'all's messed before now. I was right in the middle of that trial, right?
Yep.
"Pastor, pray for me. I'm going to prison." Ain't think I got enough. I'm like, "Well, glory to God, I ain't been in jail a long time. Why am I going to pray for this?" "Oh, I got to go to court tomorrow. My family, blah, blah, blah." I got in your trial too. Not of my own making. I done whipped the devil and I ain't going to jail. If I go to jail, I go on the other side. I'm preaching to them, not them preaching to me. But how many knows you are anointed to roll things over on the Lord for people that don't know how to cast it over on the Lord, that don't know the Lord like you? You're not a baby, pray God. You take that and you give it to the Lord and you say, "God, I just lift them up to you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you that no weapons formed against them will prosper. Thank you, Lord. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I command you to loose them and let them go. I've told him about over all of y'all."
Amen. Yeah,
not y'all, bitch.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're praying for y'all too. But he says, we are troubled on every, yet not distressed.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. Oh, Paul said, "I'm troubled, buddy. You ain't got me squashed like a bug."
That's right.
Amen.
"Greater is he that's in me than Jesus saved me."
That's right.
He said, "We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed."
Amen.
"Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus." Why? "That the life of Jesus might also be made manifest in our bodies." There's a purpose for not yielding and giving in to the pressures. Hallelujah. So that Jesus will be manifest in us. You know, I was telling the Lord other day, I said, Lord, let my light shine, not my words. The people, my neighbors, they see me going to church. I don't have to tell them. You know, Lord, let my light shine. Let me keep my place cleaned up, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I told me one time he went over and worked on his garage door, and he told me, I wasn't thinking. I mean, I just piled everything outside back under, you know. Air conditioning broke down, just pile it outside, get it later, whatever. Haul junk in, dump it out, you know, because I don't want to pay to go to the dump and all that. And the Lord told me one day, I started by the house, and I looked over there, and he said, "That's the way you are on the inside." He said, "Your yard's reflecting you." I thought, oh my God, that's a mess. I thought, that is a mess, man. So I told the Lord, I mean, we had a little garbage, just a little bitty garbage thing there. And it took a long time. I made up my mind. I'm going a little time. I'm going to clean all this up, you know. And you know what? I got it cleaned up. The time I got it cleaned up, I felt really good on the inside. I'm like, oh, glory to God. So a guy next door in the neighborhood over there, I went over to Vince's garage door. He said, how in the world have you got such a beautiful place? He said, what did you do to that grass? He said, it's so green and pretty. I had another truck driver stop by and talk Teresa out of some hosta. Our hosta was so pretty. You know? Give him a big sack of hosta. You know? And I thought about it. I thought, Lord, I told him, I said, well, there's an anointing over there. Anointing? What's that? He said, well, what's an anointing? I said, well, I said, you know how the yard's been all dirty over there? Yeah, man, you made it beautiful. Y'all made it beautiful over there. I said, well, I said, the Lord told me that that's the way I look on the inside. You know, that's just showing me. I said, so I started working on the inside. I said, and the outside at the same time. I said, now I look like my yard does on the inside.
Bless the Lord.
I said, it's called Jesus. Where do you go to church? He want to know where I go to church and everything.
Praise God.
See, what I'm saying is, see, people are depending on you getting comforted by the Lord and delivered and walking strong in the Lord that you can comfort them by the same comfort we read it last week. By the same comfort you've been comforted with.
Yeah.
But if you just give in to pressures and just, you know, I mean, I think Teresa's closer to Jesus than I am. I mean, you know, she spends a lot of time with the Lord. Women are seem to be, you know, I'm not all emotional and all that, you know. And they're like, he didn't come home all the time. I've been waiting on you for 2 days. Y'all stop that. Spend a half a day with Teresa. And then I go check the cows. I'm tired of staying there by myself. I'm like, I've been here a half a day, baby.
Bless him, Lord.
I'm just going to run over there and back. And if us guys ain't careful, we can neglect them. We give place to the devil.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Good Lord, she wants to go out and eat. I wanted to go work on that boat. I wanted to go work on that car. And here she is again, all of a sudden, wants something. Or how about this? What do you want to eat, baby? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. I ain't thought about it. I ain't thought about it either. Let's go down here. We go, you know, and you get up there. I drove all the way through town one time, pulled off in the parking lot. Preacher, what are you doing? I said, we're going to figure out what we're going to eat before I drive anywhere else. I said, I done named off everything in town. I start naming it off.
I know everything there.
Because I say you got McDonald's on the right side, you got Jack's on the left. I go there.
Don't call it. I know everything out there.
So one day, I pull off. What do you want?
I don't know. What do you want? What do you want?
I'm like, no, what do you want?
No, I'm asking you. We go through this every time.
I'm like, yeah, you don't know what you want to eat. Johnny, I can eat anything. Pull in Jack's, baby. I'll get something.
Amen.
Pull in McDonald's. I'll get a half a fish sandwich. Fine with me. I ain't got to make up my mind for you to decide what you're going to eat, right? You would not think this would be a trial in marriage.
It is.
I have actually floored it and went back home. Me and Teresa gets in the car the other day, going out on a Friday night, and She said something. Oh, I'm going to see if they got the box truck has a flat on it now. I'm having to have it fixed. This guy's not very reliable. And I got to go pick up the stuff for Saturday, you know, and I don't need a flat tire on that box truck. So he says he'll get it done. Well, I shut down half the earth because me and Teresa is going to eat on Friday night. Y'all guys need to set some time, you know, and go eat whatever you want to, you know. And so I'm thinking, okay, man. And Teresa, you're not taking your phone, are you? No more.
I don't want to hear that phone ring.
My phone does ring. Business and stuff. So normally I'll leave it. And I thought, hell, he might want to get in touch with me. And then I could feel it, David. I'm like, she's putting pressure on me not to carry that phone. I've got the box truck. I need to make sure that's fixed. Because if it ain't fixed, I'll fix it when I get back from eating. But the cow would have messed that one up too. But anyway, well, I started that way. She said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm just going to ride by, see if they're working on the truck. And then we're off. Because we was early in. And so when we come back, you know, she said something. Are you serious? I don't know, whatever she said.
So what's it matter?
Yeah, what's it matter? What's it matter? It shouldn't have mattered. I'm like, well, she ain't got the pressure of this like I do. I mean, if that devil's a liar.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to, I should have went by. I should have just trusted the Lord. Went on to eat. And everybody, you know, and so she said, what's it matter? So I thought, I ought to do a donut right here in the middle of the blessed highway. Bless God. You know, and I had that thought. And I could almost feel myself slide off the road, punch it. Somebody to call the law. And then I would have went to jail. Faithway Christians and a pastor doing donuts. Private property. What was they into it about it? What's it matter? It'd be, what does it matter? And so we go and I'm thinking, now I'm about trying to steam, man. I mean, you know, I'm like, she's spoiling the whole evening. Monty, we didn't get real bad. And so she says,
I didn't get the mail.
So pull over on the side of the road and I'm thinking, come on, somebody just come on and tell me to move. Y'all go around and get the ditch. I'm on the wrong side of the road checking the mail seat. So I pull the mail out, shut it. You ever seen that? She's sitting over there showing.
What was that?
That's a wooden oven.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Take me back to the house.
Yes.
Take me back to the house.
Come on.
And I'm locked. I said, I'm not taking you back to the house. She turned off the praise and worship music.
Uh-oh.
We're going down the road. I mean, we're both smoking. We ain't smoked in a long time. We smoked. I said, turn the music back on.
I don't want it on.
I said, turn it on.
I don't want it on.
I'm like, great. My radio is her phone, you know. And so we went on just a little ways, and I thought, but don't say nothing to Satan. And so I said, Satan, you're not gonna get either one of us.
That's right.
We're going to eat. See, us men, we got an anointing, see?
Yep.
Come on.
And then we go on down the road just a little bit, and she said, it shouldn't take that much. I mean, that didn't take much to get us. I thought, didn't take much to get you. All I done is went. I didn't say nothing. I didn't blah blah blah. You know, and I thought, now you blew a cork, you blew a gasket over there, and I sealed it up.
Oh my God.
Trouble on that side.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Bless him, Lord.
See that Christ Jesus might be made manifest in our body, not in our mind, not in our spirit. You know, in our walk, in our life.
Hallelujah.
So I want to encourage you. God's been on this pressure. This is part two or three or whatever. You know, this stuff happening to you. Going, and if some of you, no, I'm just laid back. Enjoy the ride, baby. It's coming.
That's right.
God always gets us the word before it gets here. And he prepared us and then helped us in the middle of it.
Amen.
And you know what? Next Friday night, that won't happen.
That's right.
Look, God faced five flats on earth. Stay flat. How are we going to get there? I've got traitors. I could have thought different. I could have changed the way. I could have changed everything. I've got traitors. Don't put this on her. Ain't nothing to her.
Come on.
See, the way we respond to pressure is going to determine the good or the bad that it brings into our life.
Amen.
I tell people all the time, not all the time, but they got warrants and all kinds of stuff. And I say, just turn yourself in.
Yeah.
No, we're going to jail. Well, we know that.
Right. We know that. You know that. You know you're going to jail. Turn yourself in. Oh, God, I can't see Mom. It'd only be for a month or three. Then you can get your life on track.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I mean, the Bible says forgetting those things behind. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. Let the pressures that comes your way mold you and make you.
Amen.
And the way you do that, simple yield to the Spirit of God. Yield the right way, praise God. And you know what? I really wanted to turn around and think, I'm going to take this attitude home. I had this thought, I'm going to take her back home. Let her go in. I am going to Santa Fe and I'm going to eat me a steak. And I thought, nah, man, that ain't going to be good. That's the devil, man.
That's right.
She likes to go out. We've been trying to eat right, so you're very hungry on Friday night. I mean, turn down a steak, man. You've been taking it easy on food and stuff. I mean, you know, like Teresa, the hot dog, she don't eat hot dogs. I'm telling you, man, when I'm having to eat that stuff, I'm sitting there starving while I'm eating. I mean, you know, it's your mind, man. It's the enemy.
That's right.
Sitting there eating broccoli and all. She said, have something. I said, oh, great. That's great. Just great. Boiled broccoli. Asparagus and all this stuff. You're like, she says, is it good? Oh, yes. In Jesus' name. I did it. I said, yes, in Jesus' name, this is good. We need something to choke it down with. I started to tell her yesterday, listen, could you please just get me a gallon of buttermilk? Man, just some buttermilk. She told me this last night. She said, don't cut maybe 3 pieces of bacon.
Turkey bacon.
Turkey bacon. It ain't real bacon. Stuff, man. Dog won't even eat it. This good for you. She said, don't cut me. No, I'm going to scramble. She don't want no bread. I cook breakfast on Sunday, half for 30 years nearly, every Sunday morning, you know. So I'm in there and I'm thinking, I don't care if she wants bread or not, by God, I'm not going to feel guilty. Here, Lord, give me some bread. Bread. I'm getting bread. Fogging up the bread. I'm eating bread. By God, I'm getting some bread. Or stir me up some boom biscuits, man. And then I go in there, you know, and I thought, I wished I had a pack of bacon. Just forget you, devil! It's a Sunday. It's a holy day, but God, ain't nothing in there but turkey bacon and turkey sausage links. And I told the devil, I said, you're trying to kill me is what you're trying to do. That bacon and this bread. And I'll bring treats. I'm going to close with this. I usually bring her in some things, special occasion, you know, whatever. Birthday or whatever. Last few years I did it. She's trying to eat right, you know. So I brought it in. You're the devil. You're just the devil. You're the devil. And so this last one went by, and I walked over there, and I thought, oh, no, I'm not going to be the devil, bless God. No, she ain't getting that, so I bought her some flowers. And I went in, I told her, I said, here, baby. I said, and I ain't the devil. I didn't bring you no chocolate. Excuse me, trying to kill her, yielding to the devil. But if you ever been addicted to chocolate, you'd know. That was one of her downfalls. Brownies. Whole box a day. Yeah. Breakfast? Oh, yeah. Come in snack time. Yeah. Boy, dinner. Yeah, give me a brownie. Summertime. Where's the brownie? I'm like, brownie, I ain't no brownie left, baby. Well, I've been eating 3 meals a day. Praise God. But listen, don't let Satan just bog you down under pressure, bless God.
That's right.
You cast that thing over on the Lord and you live life.
That's right.
You get up every day and say, this is a good life, Lord.
Yes.
And you tell the Lord, thank you, Lord, this is the day that you've made and I will rejoice and be glad. And you might not feel it right then, bless God, but it won't be too long down the road, you'll feel that rejoicing. You'll be like, glory to God, victory's mine. It was mine all the time. All I had to do is pick it up and go get it, praise God. And stop yielding to the enemy and the way I feel and pressures, hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just